to A Wild New Work, a podcast about how to divest from capitalism and the norms of modern work and step into the soulful calling of these times we live in, which includes the call to rekindle our relationship with the earth. I'm Megan Leatherman, a mother to two small kids, writer, amateur ecologist, and vocational guide. I live in the Pacific Northwest, and I'm your host today. Hi, friend, and welcome. Thank you so much for being here and sharing your attention and your time with me today. I really don't take that for granted, and it's truly an honor. I was supposed to be on a podcast break for the month of March, but when I went to pull forward an encore episode, I just couldn't find one that super met this time or the things that I'm noticing about this particular shift from winter to spring. And so I thought, you know, I have some ideas. I'll just make a new one. So that's what we're doing today. I will say that it's really weird to be doing anything like normal life, normal in quotes, life related right now. I think so many of us are focusing attention on global events like genocide in Gaza and other conflicts like in the Sudan and the Congo, and maybe just feeling this overarching crisis that we're in. And so it's this kind of uncomfortable paradox between the fact that so much of our hearts and our attention are over in those places or in these larger happenings around us, and also we're here, like in our bodies, in these homes, in these jobs and lives. And so we're in many places at once. And as much as I wish we were culturally and societally in a place where everything did stop in order to address the like deep pain and just maniacal violence that is happening, we're not there collectively. Some people are there individually, which is heroic and amazing that they have just stopped everything and devoted their lives to, you know, ending the genocide, or, you know, maybe not, obviously not ending it themselves, but advocating for that. And in some ways, I wish I was courageous enough to do that. And honestly, I'm not. I have an inner conflict about that. And I know many of you are dancing that dance as well right now, wondering where to focus, where to put your time and energy, and feeling how weird it is that we're just going about our lives when wild, horrible things are happening, you know, maybe not right around us, but on our planet, in which we're, you know, completely interconnected. So I just want to acknowledge that there's complication here. And my intention with this episode is to support you in freeing up more of your own energy in order to focus where you most need to focus right now, whether that's in your activism or in your well-being. I hope it is in some way related to the collective well-being. We need so much more of that, such a different balance between collective and individual work. And so I hope that some of the things I'll share today will help you stretch into greater energy flow for yourself, but also more resources that you have, you know, in your inner life to sort of send them out into the world and the community that you find yourself in. So this episode is based on an idea that I touched on in a newsletter recently that I wrote, and I just want to expand upon some of these ideas in this pre-springtime time when the sun is still in Pisces. We're at the very end of a cycle. We're at the end of winter, the end of the zodiacal year. Pisces in the tarot corresponds to the moon card, and we're not quite at the spring equinox on March 19th. And we're, if you think of the spring equinox and the sun moving into the sign of Aries as the dawn, then we're in this pre-dawn time where it's very dark. Sometimes you get little glimmers where you think it's dawn. There's different stages to dawn. And we're in this mysterious time. And in mysterious times, like this point in the cycle of the year, you want to have the best navigational tools at your disposal, right? It's not like we're walking down a path in the forest, and it's like high noon and the sun is above us, right, where you can just sort of see everything. No, it's not even dawn yet. It's very, very dark. So we don't want to just walk about freely as if it's daylight, because it's not. We want to be wise and bring a different approach. So I want to talk about that and think a little bit about how you can get the mystical navigation that you need right now, while also being mindful of how many of us get stuck in a cycle of looking for signs, looking for, you know, the universe to hand us the map or the directions, and just understanding where we sort of are on the spectrum of looking for information from outside of us, or feeling like we can only figure everything out with our minds. So we'll talk about how to access some of the intuitive information that you might need to navigate your life right now, when to stop looking for signs, and when making a decision will actually bring you the relief and flow of energy that you need. So I really hope that this is a potent, helpful episode to you today. Before we dive in, I want to share some announcements. The first being that I am going to be guiding folks through a 4-week sunrise series called Becoming the Dawn. You might remember that in the fall, we did a 4-week series called Needing More, which was when we turned our electric lighting off at dusk or when at any time that folks decided, and just spent more time in the darkness and really let our bodies experience that and let it lead us into some pretty incredible revelations based on what folks shared. And it's one of my favorite practices that we do every year. But I have never done its counterpoint. I have never done a springtime sunrise series where we're not working with the dusk, but we're working with the dawn. And the, like I mentioned, in the tarot, Pisces corresponds to the moon card. And on that card, you'll often see a dog and a wolf. And I've mentioned this multiple times, that there's this French saying where you're in the time between a dog and a wolf, which is the dusk and dawn, where you can't, things don't look like they seem. You can't tell if something is a dog or a wolf, and there's this edginess to it. And I want to explore myself and with others in this community what it's like to get up when it's dark, which I normally do, but I want to see what it's like to turn east, either in my home or outside. I'm going to encourage folks to try to be outside, and I'm going to put my body in the dawn. And I'm going to see what happens. And if it's anything like our dusk practice, our nighttime practice in the fall, I think it will be pretty powerful. There's something really incredible to the practice of taking kind of an indirect approach to growth or nourishment in your life, where, you know, if you want to have more energy, or if you want a sense of renewal, or if you're trying to resurrect something in your life, or you want to just experience more vitality, you don't have to write a thesis about it or make a business plan about it. Please fucking don't. But what you can do is go put your body in the dawn and see what happens. And to me, in my experience, that's been 10 times more valuable and educational than anything else. And I'm really excited to see what that's like. I have done that, you know, in one-off scenarios before, but this will be a 4-week practice. So we'll get back-to-back chances to try and see what it's like and see how the experiences are different from one another, and really like become the spring. We're going to start right after the spring equinox and go for 4 weeks. So it's free. I would love for you to join us if that resonates, if you want to see what it's like to sort of renew yourself alongside the earth and the sun growing in the sky. And the link to do that is in the show notes. It's also on the homepage at awildnewwork.com. And that starts March 24th. It's a Sunday. So I hope you'll join us. The other thing I want to share is that Eating Capitalism, which is the workshop that I just did a couple of weeks ago on Silvia Federici's book Caliban and the Witch about the origins of capitalism, was so lovely. I loved teaching that class, and thank you to those of you who showed up and made that what it was. And I've decided to teach it again in May, and it's going to be over 5 weeks on Wednesdays at 11 a.m. Pacific time. We're just going to do every Wednesday in May, and I think it's going to be great. And I hope if you wanted to join us last time but couldn't, or you're curious about it now, you can learn more about the workshop series and sign up at awhilenewwork.com or the link in the show notes. Also, if you feel like you need more individualized support, I want to just remind you that I do offer tarot readings, and those are at a sliding scale, pay what you can, and that's a chance for us to meet, pull some cards, see what your subconscious might be reflecting back to you about questions you have in terms of surviving capitalism and your vocational life and your creative life and where you're sort of meant to be right now. And if you need to go even deeper than that, if you're on the precipice of a major change and you want to do that alongside someone who has walked that path with many others over the years, I also work with people one-on-one through a more intensive 6 months to a year-long program. So all of the links to that are in the show notes. And the other thing I want to just say is thank you to everyone supporting the show financially. I really, really appreciate you pitching in just once or monthly, knowing that there's a community around this work supporting it. And if you're listening and that's helpful, the podcast is helpful to you, then I would be so grateful if you wanted to chip in financially, either once or monthly. And you can do that at buymeacoffee.com/Megan Leatherman. Okay, so let's do our opening invocation. So wherever you are, you can just notice your body and time and space. What is it like to be you in your life right now? This is it. This is your life. Sometimes I have to remind myself of that. Like, this is my life. This is what it is. I'm here. This is my one shot at this in this lifetime. And here we are. So I would encourage you to just take a deep breath as I guide us through these words. May each of us be blessed and emboldened to do the work we're meant to do on this planet. May our work honor our ancestors, known and unknown, and may it be in harmony with all creatures that we share this earth with. I express gratitude for all of the technologies and gifts that have made this possible, and I'm grateful to the Multnomah, Cowlitz, Bands of Chinook, and Clackamas tribes, among many others, who are the original stewards of the land that I'm on. Okay, well, I want to start by anchoring us into where we are in the cycle of the year here in the Northern Hemisphere. So it is almost the spring equinox. It's almost the beginning of spring, officially. And I really hope that this winter you have had some time to swim in mystery, get some extra rest, have more time to integrate what happened last year in the growing cycles of the year. I hope that you have experienced some dissolution, where like a part of you is sort of composted and made into something else. And of course, it can't be that all the time. Maybe we're not plants, that's true. We're not these, you know, beings that go through these more specific cycles, maybe, but we're closer to that than we usually think. And there's still time to do all of that work if you want to, because that's the work that sets us up for a really vibrant spring. It's the rest, it's the integration, it's the letting go, it's the getting lost, it's the being composted. So here we are at the end of that cycle, and we're in a twilight zone. It's almost dawn. A new cycle is about to begin, and in some ways it already is. You might already see trickles of spring around you. There's no like actual, you know, winter one day, spring the next. It's much more fluid than that. So the spring equinox, which is the day when it's one of 2 days a year when light and dark are balanced, the sun has been growing in its power and time in the sky since the winter solstice in December. And here we've come to sort of like the halfway point between the winter solstice, when the daylight was at its lowest, and we're halfway between that and the summer solstice, when the daylight will be the longest. So things are equal right now. There's an equilibrium here. And on that day, Tuesday, March 19th, depending on your time zone, the sun will also shift into the sign of Aries, which is the first sign in the zodiacal cycle. And if you're in the southern hemisphere, then you're going to be marking the fall equinox, not the spring. But same sort of day of equilibrium. The spring equinox is celebrated in many different cultures, religions, traditions. Some of the larger ones that you might know about are the Iranian celebration of Nowruz. Passover is around this time. Holi, the Hindu festival of color and spring, is around this time. Of course, Easter in the Christian tradition is around this time. So there are many different ways to honor and celebrate what has been true since the founding of this planet, really, which is that this is a time of resurrection and new life, and the sun is growing in its time in the sky, and the plants and animals and fungi and all of the beings, including us and the beings that we're made up of, all these bacteria, know that they can sense the growing sunlight, and there's a shift in that. And the energy of new life needs to flow, it needs a channel. The seed needs to open, the bud needs to open, the chicks need to hatch. Not all of them will, of course, nothing is guaranteed, but there is a push here, there is a flow, there is energy that wants to come through that we want to sync up with. I think most of us would like our own energy to flow more freely and give us a sense of greater life and purpose and connection and vitality. I would like that for myself, and I would like that for you too if you want it. And there are a couple of things that can sort of get in the way of that. Some of them are just life, you know, there are some chicks that don't hatch. There are some seeds that just don't take. The conditions weren't right. It wasn't the right time. But there's a lot of gunkiness that we give ourselves that I think we could clear away a little bit at this time in the year. You know, there's an inherent risk to the spring. There's a risk of something being born too early or not surviving or waiting too long and then the conditions are not right later. Things really hang in the balance in this time. I talked a little bit more about that in episode 116 on seeds, if you're interested. But we are a part of all of this. We are absolutely a part of the spring. We can learn from it. We can become it in our own lives. Like, what would it mean for you to be the spring in your life and how you moved in the world? That opens up a lot of possibilities in terms of what it might mean to take risks, to dawn in your new identity or self, to come into some softness and youthfulness, to be resurrected, to find renewal, to experiment, to try a thing and see what happens. And our minds can really interrupt that natural desire to be the spring, to live as if that we were a part of that. And not only can our minds get very busy and sort of interrupt that, but it's true that we also live in a culture where that makes that very difficult. We live in a society where we are really infantilized and are in a time when there's both an overwhelming amount of choice, but also many real blocks to our freedom of action. So if you're trying to decide about quitting a job, you know, on one hand, it sucks that you have to work for someone else and can't sort of use your own life force and energy in the way that you choose on the days that you choose. On the other hand, there are a thousand other things you could be doing with your time. You do have some freedom of choice here, and the possibilities on the other side of that can be overwhelming. And if you had a third hand, the other one would be the fact that you're trapped inside of a system that requires you to earn an income. So there are constraints here that you're working with. Or maybe you feel the yearning to really bloom into your art practice right now, but you have limited time and space because of capitalism's demands or the fact that you're taking care of a loved one on your own and don't have a lot of support. All of nature has to work within constraints. You know, the birds around me that I'm looking at right now had to survive a brutal ice storm 2 months ago. And then they come into the spring and they have limited options for where they can safely build a nest here in the city. They have limited access to food. And all of that is very real, but I don't think they get super wrapped up in stories about it, where they're sort of frozen in indecision about where to build a nest or where to find food. They just are meeting what's here and they're finding a way to do it as best they can, or they don't, and they don't procreate. You know, it doesn't always work out. So many of us get really stuck in these stories and loops about what's happening and how we feel about it and the resistance we feel about it. And there are times when, you know, there are some constraints that are just very real and sacred almost. They're just like the laws of life, you know, that there's only a certain amount of daylight. This is what the climate is doing and we have no control over it. You can't fly. There's gravity. There are certain constraints that like are natural, of course. And then there are constraints that are culturally prescribed. You know, the constraint you have about having to earn an income, or, you know, single family households being the norm, or the fact that rent is insanely expensive or you can't afford to buy a home. Those are not natural. Economists would like us to think that they are, but they're not. And so there is choice here. Of course, you always have choice and agency. No one can ever completely take that away from you. But I do just want to acknowledge the fact that we're working inside of some constraints right now. And as much as we can free up energy to just be with what is in front of us right now and make the best choices that we can, given what we've got, I think the better and the more we can sort of come into more life and sharing and resourcefulness and beauty as spring progresses. So I want to share some ideas about navigating this pre-dawn time that we're in right now before the spring equinox. And if you're listening after the spring equinox, you know, this still applies as we move into the spring. And I think these things apply anytime. So the first thing that I want to say about navigating this pre-dawn period is that if there are things that you're trying to make decisions about, or things that you're trying to navigate and choices that you're trying to make, it is true sometimes that we just aren't meant to know a thing yet. It is possible that you're not missing anything. It is possible that you just don't have the full picture. And that's not a problem. You're just not meant to know it all. It's a mystery. Life is a mystery. So, one, we can just start there and like give ourselves some grace and relief in the fact that we're these tiny humans. We've got limited information. There's a larger picture at play, and we aren't expected to, and we cannot know everything about everything. The other thing that I want to say is that there is a real importance in this time, and I think this is true all throughout the cycle of the year, but especially in this very mysterious winter to spring transition, there is real importance in letting yourself be guided by a deeper knowing right now, not just a cognitive way of moving through as if you're on a path in the summer where you just sort of see and you're like, that I'm going left, that's what it is, and I have a map and here's what it is. It's not that kind of time right now. There are times in our lives where that there is no map. We can't even see in front of us. And so at those times, it is really helpful to have access to other information like your intuition, like your instincts. This is essential. I don't really understand how people navigate their lives without like a spiritual practice of some kind. And I recognize that not everyone needs one as robust as others, and that we're all on different points in our journey and find different things helpful, and that's absolutely lovely, and I support that. But I do encourage you, if you feel a little lost right now, or if you feel like you're in sort of analysis paralysis, or feel like things are just really mysterious and you would like a little bit of grounding, I encourage you to check out some kind of different divination practice or meditation practice or prayer or asking a spiritual guidance person for support to expand a little bit into some practices that are maybe unusual for you or different than how you would normally approach a quote-unquote problem. my practices, whether it's meditation or journaling or prayer or tarot or oracle cards, whatever they are, they often really help me see things differently and help me find the little crack that is the way or the very next right step. And I see this in my readings for others as well, that we come into a reading thinking like, this is the problem, this is how I should address it. And we open ourselves up a little bit to some information from within, but also outside of us. And sure enough, we are asked to look at things differently, that maybe the thing we thought was the problem is not actually the problem. Maybe there's a different root to it, or maybe there's a different way that we're being asked to approach this or hold this. And so we need those types of practices, whether it's cards or whatever you do, some kind of practice to help you access your deeper bodily intuitive knowing. And it really should be something that connects you to your knowing, which can take years to reconstruct if you've lived without accessing your intuition for a long time, but it never goes away. The right information, the information that is of us at this time, that is like clear for us, is usually very simple without a lot of emotional charge to it. It's just a little like nudge to go that way or try this thing or talk to this person. The anxiety often is really charged with a lot of emotion and comes with a whole lot of story about it. So if you were on this path in this pre-dawn time, your intuition might tell you to just keep going toward the left. And that would be just kind of a simple, like, I feel it in my body. It feels maybe not clear, but it's just simple is the best word for it, I think. And then anxiety might be you being super in your head about why the left is probably south, and there's a cliff in the south, and what if you get toward that cliff, and what if you're missing the other path to the north, and on and on and on about how you can't navigate and you're a bad person, and, you know, so on and so forth. So navigating in this time is so much easier and richer and feels very supportive if you can pull in some practices that help you connect to you and the greater wisdom that lives in you. There is another end to this spectrum that I want to talk about for a minute, which might be where you find yourself sometimes, which is when we are so steeped in our divination practices or in our intuitive navigation that we're sort of frozen in a different way, not frozen in anxiety, maybe, although it is kind of another side of anxiety, but we're frozen in looking for confirmation from the universe constantly. And there is a need sometimes to practice what Jen Lemon called mystic sobriety, where we put the cards down, we stop calling our astrologer, and we just act in the direction that seems best. Divination is so helpful, so important. These practices that help us navigate are essential. And they aren't the actual taking of the step, right? If I get a sense or have a dream or get some nudge in a certain direction, I have to actually take the step, you know? There's a real risk in constantly looking for the signs and the nudges, but then when we don't do anything with them, the information gets clunky and weird, and it makes it even more complicated. And really being an adult, I think, means coming to our practices with clarity of intention, getting grounded in our systems, using these practices as tools, you know, that they're just tools in your toolbox. They're not the end-all be-all, because we need to remember then that we are sovereign beings with free will who are living inside of real constraints, and it's up to us to take the step that the divination practice or whatever it is pointing to. So we have to, like Jessica Snow says, and there's more about this in our conversation in episode 88. Jessica Snow talks a lot about sort of this infinity sign where we're dipping into our meditation practice or our divination practice. We're getting that intuitive information. And then we need to come out and actually do the work make the call, take the step, do the thing, and then dip back in and see how that landed. That there has to be this flow of inward, outward, where we're not just looking for signs and looping, but we're actually taking a step and seeing what happens. So if you find yourself in a loop right now, where maybe you're constantly asking for signs or doing a lot of card pulls for yourself or a lot of prayer or a lot of requesting information from the universe, you know, that is not bad. That doesn't make you bad or unwise or anything. You do whatever you want, truly. But you might try pulling back a little bit and deciding to just do a thing, just making a decision, doing the next best thing in front of you. You might need to give yourself a time limit for mulling over a decision. You might approach this time, if things are messy and confusing, approach it as an experiment and give yourself some freedom to just try a thing or just decide and feel the relief that can come with just making a decision. If you're really looping and feeling really worried about making the wrong decision or wrong steps right now, then I hope that you have some good people in your life who can support you through that, including a good therapist or practitioner that can more deeply support you. But one of the things that might not seem related, but that really helps me when I am looping or when I'm like looking for a lot of confirmation or support in my spiritual practices, one of the things that helps me is just to get grounded in the fact that we are all going to die. If I can keep death close, it helps me to have a wider view on all of this. It helps me see the decision in front of me, the step in front of me, as the tiny thing that it probably is. And to remember that this decision or this juncture that I'm at is probably, you know, it probably isn't a life or death decision. And even if it is, you know, we do our best and we take the next right step that is in front of us and we see what happens. And maybe part of us trusts or believes in the fact that this could be a friendly universe, you know, where support can rise up and meet us, where we can have support in holding what needs to be held, where we can find resonance on the other side of taking that step, even if it was scary or if we didn't know what it was going to lead to. And we can just see what happens, you know, and become the spring in that way and embrace this energy of foolishness and new life and naivety and the risks that are here, and all of that can be true at once. So as you navigate this pre-dawn time, I encourage you to either, wherever you sort of fall in the spectrum, either pull on more of those intuitive tools and experiment with them, or put them down for a minute and just trust your own gut, your own sense of things, and to try to be light with it where you can. I know some decisions are more consequential than others, but there are a lot of decisions in your day-to-day that can be really free and fast and easy, and you can save yourself a lot of energy and decision fatigue by just allowing yourself to move through your life with some sovereignty and boldness, and, you know, trusting that there's not a cliff right ahead, but that there's some soft ground that can rise up to meet you. I do want to encourage you to mark the spring equinox or celebrate it in some way around March 19th, before, after, whenever you can. I really encourage you to do something to become the spring in your own life, to bring it in, to learn from it. And there are infinite ways, you know, that you can do this. As you know, the sun shifts into the sign of Aries at this point. So if astrology is one of those practices that you find a lot of value in, you could look up your natal chart and see where Aries is in your chart and where the sun will be entering on the 19th, and take note and see if there's greater attention or warmth or consciousness in that area of your life. you could rise at dawn on the equinox and sort of mark that shift in light and dark. You might refresh your space. You could clean your home. You could repair things. You could open your windows. You could really let the fresh air in. That's the practice across the world, this sort of idea of spring cleaning and really renewing our space in this point in the cycle of the year. You could create some sort of marker of winter, something that symbolizes the winter season, and burn it or bury it, giving thanks for what you have been through this winter and letting it go as you shift into the spring. You could take a walk on this day or around this day and really intentionally see how much beauty, how much new life that you can notice. You could just make a decision. That could be your spring equinox celebration, is just choosing or letting your energy just go where it wants to go, giving it a clearer channel, just making a choice and doing a thing. You could, of course, have a meal or a celebration to mark the shift. You can do whatever you want, and I encourage you to find something that feels simple and easy and sweet, and I encourage you to just make a choice about it. Get it on your calendar. Do a thing. You're an adult who can do things. We can do things, and the equinox is a great time to sync up with what the natural world is wanting to show us right now and what we're a part of. So that's what I had for you today, my friends. I really hope that this was helpful to you in some way. And of course, if you want to do more work together, I'll be guiding people through that sunrise series starting March 24th. We have Eating Capitalism starting in May. There's one-on-one support, either a single tarot reading, which is just pay what you can, or a deeper process together, working together for many months through a big shift. So all of the links to that, as well as the link to support the show financially, if that's within your means, are in the show notes for you. I will be back with you in 2 weeks, either with a new episode or an encore. I need to make a decision about that. I need some of my own fucking medicine again. But I'll make a decision about that. And then our spring season will start in April with some new framing and new guests and new ideas. And I'm really excited to share that with you. So I hope you take such good care, and I'll see you on the other side.